Would you pray with me? Lord God Almighty, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. God saw seven times that the creation was good. God saw the light, that it was good. God saw the dry land and the water, and that they were good. God saw the plants, that they were good. God saw the universe, the sun and the moon and the stars, that they were good. God saw the aquatic life and the flying life, and that they were good. God saw the land life, that it was very good. God saw humans, including everything that was made, and indeed, it was all very good. God's creation was good. That's an important point about creation, one that is often missed by preachers today. The Hebraic story of creation, the first creation account found in Genesis chapter 1, is rare among the ancient world's creation myths in how it depicts creation. Creation isn't an accident. Creation isn't the result of a battle or a conflict or a war between heavenly powers and forces. Creation isn't a mistake, a false start that needs to be corrected, an unwanted byproduct of some action of God or a pantheon of gods above. No, in Genesis chapter 1, we find that creation is the result of a reasonable, orderly, apparently planned progression of creative utterances, proclamations, affirmations, progressing in an evolutionary pattern, step by step, from the more basic, the more fundamental, the more elementary stages to exceedingly more advanced and complex stages and acts of division. You first have light. Let there be light. Then you have day and night. Then you have land, and then you have land and sea. Then you have plants. Then you have the universe above. Then the sea life and the flying life. The land life, first plants and then animals. And then finally, at the pinnacle of it all, you have the creation of humans. Now, some might argue with that assessment that humans deserve to be the last and most important stage of creation. But we tend to view ourselves that way, the last and the greatest act of God's creation. Far from a disorderly mass of accidents and conflicts which typify our life experiences today and which govern the creation process of many ancient religious systems, in the first biblical creation account, and there are two creation accounts in the book of Genesis, by the way, in the first biblical creation account, God's creative genius is filled with order and meaning. And humans are depicted as being intentionally, at the top of it, created in the image of God, whatever that means, in the image of God, representing God, acting as God's agents in the universe, with duty and responsibility to care for it all. The translation is to have dominion over it, true. But the dominion here is more an act of caretaking, taking care of our planet, taking care of God's amazing creation, taking care of that which God has so lovingly given us in speaking all of this into existence. That is what we're called to do. That is who we are called to be, caretakers of God's amazing act of creation, of the environment and of this world that God has given us. On February the 14th, 1990, the Voyager 1 space probe, at a distance of 3.7 billion miles, that's out beyond the orbit of Neptune, took this picture of Earth. Our planet, from this amazing distance, is just a tiny speck in a ray of reflected light across the probe's imaging lens. Here's a zoomed-up, close-up picture of it. You see that speck in the middle of that ray? That tiny speck? That's us. That's our planet. That's Earth, where everyone that we know lives. Barely a speck of light, lost in the void of space. And we're created to be the good caretakers of this amazing place that God has called good. Today, we're surrounded by many things that we might see as bad, that we might experience as bad. Humans behaving in inhuman ways towards others, hurting others, abusing others, killing others, ignoring the image of God that is in all of us, disregarding the good of God's creation around us, in our planet, in the universe, and in each other. That, my friends, is the essence of sin. In the coming week, we'll be looking more closely at what sin is. But as a preview, sin isn't the laundry list of things that people think are wrong with others and what other people are doing. Sin is failing to be true to the image of God in each of us. Sin is failing to love God and love neighbor as self. Sin is treating others like junk. And God didn't create junk. God doesn't create a mess. God doesn't create a mistake. God creates good stuff. God creates the universe, life, you and me, and sees that we are all very good. That's why LGBTQ people, that's why the LGBTQ community celebrates Pride with rainbows, reflecting the diversity of the spectrum of God's life amongst us, proclaiming that we, like all of God's creation, are good. We do so to recognize the good that we all are. Because so many of us have been told time and again, in many places and many phases of our lives, that we're not good, that we are junk, that we are mistakes, that we shouldn't be, or that we should be swept under the rug and forgotten, ignored, silenced, or done away with. That message, which is heard from many pulpits, both church and cultural and political pulpits, is the real sin, the real denial of the image of God in others. And it's preached from churches all over this land, all over the good globe that God has given us. I am blessed to serve as the pastor of a church where that toxic message of hate and rejection is not preached. And it's not just because the one doing the preaching today is himself an out gay man. No, it's because this wonderful congregation has proven for decades its openness and affirming love for those whom the society and many churches have kicked to the margins. I'm speaking to any visitors we may have today with us, or those who are watching online now or in the future. If your current church is making you feel ashamed, if you walk out of that church Sunday after Sunday convinced that God could never love someone like you, if week after week you take away a sense that you're only going to receive God's wrath, God's fire and brimstone, then please, please, please get out of that church and find a church that loves you, a church that shares God's grace with you and accepts and affirms you as the beautiful and precious child that God has made you to be. Grace United Methodist Church is such a church of grace and love and welcome and affirmation. I promise you that. And no matter what, always know that God sees you and knows you and proclaims that you are indeed very good. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say, Amen.